Redmond's Regal 5.
Interesting enough, there wasn't a bottle of champagne to be purchased in Gibraltar, because the Gibraltarians and the British were intent upon giving us lots of entertainment and lots of fun, had bought every bottle of champagne available on the rock to shower upon us. Bearing in mind, of course, you must remember that the border wasn't open in those days. And that gave us a wonderful sense of being able to wind down and return to normality before we came home. I must confess, it was an ulterior motive, because as we were accompanying the Hermes back, we realised that Hermes would get all the press cover and all the glory, and we wouldn't. And we'd rather come back at a time when no other ship was coming back, so we'd see our names in the papers and have some attention for ourselves.
What are your feelings now in 1994 about having taken part in the Falklands?
Well, as my colleague had suggested when we were recalled from Naples and sent south, that as something happened, it would have been very disappointing not to have been there. I think it's significant, particularly now in the 80s and 90s, that when I joined the Navy, many officers and senior ratings had seen service in the Second World War and the Korean War and Suez operations. And it was not uncommon to find lieutenant commanders in 1966 with two or three rows of campaign ribbons. But by the late 70s, there were no officers with campaign ribbons and very few ratings, although the Royal Marines generally had the General Service Medal. And of course, that all changed with the changing international political scene that started really in the beginning of the 80s. And this was the first real sea and amphibious campaign for a very large number of years. And in many ways, it proved to us that we had the ability to do the job for which we'd been trained. It did show to us that modern technology could enable a seaborne force to take on an air force, and although we never achieved air superiority in the way that people would define it, achieved sufficient air superiority to put troops ashore, and that the ships had sufficient technology to actually reliably shoot down aeroplanes for the first time ever, which put the air force on the defensive. And of course, there was a rash of campaign medals, and of course it's now not uncommon 12 years later, to see young sailors and young officers with three or four or five campaign ribbons, which is indicative of how the Falklands War against a military regime began, almost to me, seemed to be the start of the realization by those who thought that they could achieve political ends by overt military force when political discussion had ceased, would not necessarily win in the end. And whilst military action is not always necessarily suitable for a number of reasons, if it is necessary or is feasible, then it can, under the right sort of control, achieve what the politicians are after. And of course, the Kuwait War and other events around the world where campaign ribbons have been given indicate that. But what is surprising is it seemed to give the politicians more confidence in that the military could do a limited operation to achieve a political aim.